This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning, everyone. George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint today. Aaron had some important things to take care of, as he always does. So I'm filling in. You'll have me for all 4 hours today. Happy Freedom Friday. It's a beautiful day out there. It's that moon, that super moon, is still big and bright out there. So if you didn't see it last night before you went to bed, you should go out there and take a look at it now. It's big and bright. And that might explain why things were so crazy yesterday, Travis. I mean, people were nuts. It was, I could tell full moon was coming, and then I saw a super moon. So yeah, I think there's something to that. We've got a lot to talk about today. There's all kinds of things going on in our country, in our world, things that you should know about. And hopefully you're paying attention to what's going on out there. It's really your duty as an American and as a free person to pay attention to what's going on in our government, in our world, in our country, in our communities. And it pays to be aware, and it pays to pay attention to what's going on out there. We got a lot of stories here. We've got the House Appropriations Bill, the government shutdown, Ukraine funding. We've got all kinds of things. You know, that Ukraine funding just won't go away. I tell you, I don't know how much money we're planning on sending over there, but it's a lot already. And they just added to it probably another $300 million or so. And, you know, if you research that and look into that, you know, we're not just sending them arms and things to fight this war with. We're paying for all kinds of other stuff. And that really has nothing to do with defeating the Russians. So I don't know how you feel about that, but we're going to take a lot of phone calls today. If you have something you want to talk about, you can give us a call in the studio at 406-294-0970. You can send us a message on our app. You can send us an email. However you do it, if you want to get be heard, then contact us and let us know. We're going to have a lot of fun today, hopefully. I don't want to keep everything all depressing and angry. I'd like to hear some good stories today, and hopefully I'll come across some that I can share with you, and we can have some positivity on this Freedom Friday. We've got, let's see, what is it? Now, can't remember what I was going to say, Travis. yeah, it's one of those mornings, I tell you. It really is. And, you know, it's really hard sometimes to not just stick with all this political stuff, you know, but we've heard so much of that, you know. Let's see if we can find something else to talk about, something good out there in our community or your community that you'd like to share with us. Give us a call. George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
Here is your Montana news. Granted, you have the freedom of speech and that you may not like certain politicians. That does not mean you can make threats. One man is learning this the hard way. Anthony Cross of Billings pled not guilty on Tuesday to threats to injure and murder a U.S. senator and to threats against the president. Colerate reports the indictment stems from two incidents in April. The first, that Cross allegedly threatened the current president, saying, quote, "I will personally kill Joe Biden." The second happened a week later when Cross supposedly threatened the life of Senator John Tester in retaliation for his political actions in office. Now, how serious are these charges? Well, according to Color 8, Mr. Cross has been detained and, if convicted, faces up to 10 years and $250,000 fine. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see partly to mostly sunny skies across the area for today. High temperature readings will stay in the mid-60s across the Bozeman area to about 69 in Billings. As we head into tonight, we'll see increasing clouds with a chance for some showers late, mainly towards the Bozeman area. Temperatures will head back down to about 40 in Bozeman to about 47 in Billings. Then the outlook for Saturday does call for a mix of clouds and sun and a chance for a few showers towards the Bozeman area. Otherwise, we're looking at high temperatures from the upper 60s to around 70 on Saturday. For Saturday night, the scattered shower chances continue to build a bit further east into the Billings area, still staying with some chances for showers in Bozeman as temperatures will head back to about 42 in Bozeman, 49 in Billings. That was some showers Sunday, mid-50s in Bozeman, mid-60s in Billings. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, if you guys missed it, we had that gun control guy running as a Democrat for governor of Montana on the show in studio. Full audio on our Montana Talks podcast. Check it out on the app.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, in more proof that our universities are crazy, you might remember that professor that threatened the New York Post reporter with a machete, held it to his neck and said, "I will chop you with this machete," when they asked a question about her yelling at pro-life students. So she was fired from a couple of her teaching gigs at Hunter College and the School of Visual Arts following that incident that was last May. But she's been hired at Cooper Union in the East Village. So they have her on the fall semester schedule as teaching a sculpture class there. So, yeah, she gets fired for threatening a guy with a machete, but then another place hires her. They must have really been hurting for talent there, I'm assuming. But anyway, they went and started talking to the students on campus about what they thought about that. And, you know, they thought it was crazy is one word. Scary. I don't think it's okay. When you're a student, you want to feel safe. I would not feel safe with that person being my professor. You know, they're all about sculpture. Yeah. I think she sculpts machetes, something like that. Travis. So, you know, of all of this stuff that these schools talk about, safety on campus and, you know, they say that if that's a threat, they're out. If that's a threat, they're out. But here is a professor that actually threatened somebody, held a machete to someone else's neck, and they're still letting her teach. So I don't know what the double standard is there. I don't know why that exists. But I think I agree with those students who said, yeah, that's not cool. We don't feel comfortable, and we don't like it. One even refused to talk about her because apparently they have a sculpting class and they didn't want her to come back at them for saying anything about it. But, you know, I think one interesting thing is, let's see, not all students, though, were disturbed at the news. One called it kind of cool and described the teacher as a real, well, let's just say tough guy. And they said, "I don't think it poses a problem here, and people are not talking about it much. I think it's the outside obsession." And still others, "I think that someone who acts irrational like that would have the same mentality in class. I would definitely be worried." So there you go. There's your education system working for you. People, you pay good money to go to these schools, and they hire people like that. So I don't know. Take that for what you want. Hey, we got a caller already this morning. Steve and Ballantyne calling about the Democratic candidate for governor. Let's see here. Steve, what's on your mind? Good morning. Are you there? Well, we'll put him back on.
You there?
There you are. All right. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, you know, Aaron did that interview with the gentleman yesterday that's going to be going against Forte for governor. I think the guy needs to look in the mirror a little bit more. I couldn't quit laughing, George, is when he was getting really hard into the climate change stuff, and then Aaron finally asked him, says, well, why didn't you just call in? How come you had to drive here then? You're so concerned about the Green New Deal. And then he goes, well, I was already here. It's unbelievable. And gun control, you know? Oh, you know, he sold thousands of guns and all that. But lo and behold, he's an individual that shows up to be a key speaker at a fundraiser, whatever it would be, you know, that he's, for gun control.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have to be, he's really up front with it right now. So, you know, it's just, we would have to be really stupid to even think of, someone trying to vote for him. I mean, give me, but yeah, the climate change thing was just comical. It was just comical.
Well, yeah, and, that's good that he pointed that out, because so many times people are, they talk a big game about that. You know, it's just like John Kerry flying all over the world in his private jet, talking about climate change and telling everyone else they shouldn't fly. You know, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's hypocrisy at its best, as my mom would say.
Yeah.
Bless her heart.
So, absolutely.
You know, they all of them need to start looking in a mirror. They really do. It's absurd of the stuff that they want to force down us, but yet they do it themselves.
Right, absolutely. Know? And, I think if you want to see people that are really, truly passionate about the environment, it's not the politicians. You know, it's the people like you and me, the regular Joe or Jane, that believe strongly in that. And, there are people like that that actually do what they can to make a difference. And politicians, they're just giving us lip service, telling us what we should do, because, they're exempt from all the things that we should do.
And I know for a fact he's a rubber stamp of Bullock. If he ever got to be governor, he actually, from what I heard yesterday, I think he could actually be a lot worse. I really do. I mean, I think he forced masks on everyone. He'd shut stuff down, which, pray to God, we never have to go through that again.
Right.
Never go through that again.
Absolutely.
I think he's a rubber stamp. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for the call. I hope you have a great Friday and a great weekend. If you want to call us and tell us what you're thinking about, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. George filling in for Aaron on this Freedom Friday.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, this week, the House voted down an attack on federal checkoff programs led by a pair of Republicans who argued that the producer-funded research and promotion efforts fail to fully disclose how they spend their revenue. An amendment aimed at barring USDA from operating the programs was defeated overwhelmingly, 49-377. As the GOP-controlled House completed debate on a fiscal 2024 spending bill for USDA, FDA, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And the House also soundly rejected an amendment that would bar USDA from requiring electronic tracking of cattle, and narrowly defeated a proposal to cut off funding to USDA's Equity Commission. Now, Washington insiders say the votes were largely symbolic, though, since it's still not clear that the fiscal year 2024 spending bill has enough GOP support to pass the House, and it would be dead on arrival in the U.S. Senate regardless. However, they say the amendment debate did test support for the checkoff programs and more. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Agoral Carbon works with farmers and ranchers to implement sustainable practices on farms and ranches that promote long-term soil health and add a new revenue stream. Agoral Carbon's team of local agronomists provide one-on-one support across the U.S., tailoring practice change recommendations to each farm or ranch. Approved row crop practices include reduced tillage, nitrogen management, and cover crops, including legumes. Pasture and range practices include rotational grazing, fertilization, and biodiversity. Learn more at at agorocarbon.com.
Attention farmers, ranchers, and forest landowners. The Montana NRCS is accepting applications for the current funding cycle through October 27th for important programs like EQIP, CSP, wetland reserve easements, and others. To learn more about the technical and financial resources available to implement important conservation practices like these, visit your local NRCS office or mt.nrcs.usda.gov. The USDA is an equal opportunity provider, employer, and lender.
Well, Yellowstone National Park first released its draft bison management environmental impact statement for public comment on August 10th. The public comment period, originally scheduled to close on September 25th, has now been extended by 15 additional days to allow the public a full 60 days to comment. All comments must be received now by October 10th. The draft EIS introduces a broad range of actions for managing bison inside and outside the park, including bumping up the population itself. Now, probably the best way to comment at this point in time is just by visiting the National Park Service's website. Again, you need to do so, though, by October 10th. And finally this morning, the U.S. Grains Council has once again updated its value of grains export study. The study examines the economic contributions provided by exports of malt barley, other barley, corn gluten, feed, and meal, distillers' dried grains with solubles, ethanol, sorghum, and the corn equivalent of beef, pork, and poultry on the U.S. economy. And results from the analysis show that the $31.5 billion in grain and grain products exported indirectly supported a total economic output of $104 billion in 2021. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back on this Freedom Friday. I hope everyone's planning on having a great day today because, you know, you are living in the greatest country on the face of the planet. You have more freedoms than anybody else in the world, and I hope you're paying attention to those, paying attention to what's going on around you. And you know, it's not perfect, but it's better than everywhere else. Let's just say that. Now, I saw this story when, you know, we've got Congress arguing about bills and funding the government and all this, and hell, they're blaming each other for this and that and the other thing. But there's one here that really caught my eye today. So remember that. These members of Congress are arguing about all manner of things. But here's something that you may not know about. This headline is by Michael Lee. Lawmakers torch Biden administration over filthy military barracks. Service members live in squalor. Now, folks, don't think this is a brand new thing, because this has been going on since I was in the military in the 80s. So what they're talking about is the barracks. And so these barracks are for enlisted people, enlisted soldiers. They're single enlisted soldiers, or people that may be married, but their family lives somewhere else. But anyway, they're staying in the barracks. So if you don't have anything else, this is where they're going to put you. There were several lawmakers who joined forces to demand answers from the Defense Department in a letter, and they sent it to the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Energy, Installations, and Environment, Brendan Owens. This is after a GAO report last week that outlined dire conditions in some military barracks across the country. It was a 118-page report, had 12 unnamed military installations. This isn't one, this isn't two, it's 12. And it outlined how many of the buildings these troops are forced to live in are plagued with problems, such as overflowing sewage, cracked sewer pipes, water damage, pests, mold, mildew, even squatters. So I don't know how you get squatters in a barracks on a military base. So that tells me there's another problem there at that place, at that location. But this has been going on for a long, long, long time, decades and decades. So what the hell are they spending all this money on if they're not at least keeping the barracks where our servicemen and women live up to par. None of these people would live there. Why are we making our enlisted soldiers live in squalor type conditions, unsafe, unsanitary, unhealthy? Why are we making them do that? I want to get into this a little bit more when we get back. We've got Nancy in Roundup on the phone. She wants to talk about gas prices and the shutdown. So we're going to get to her as soon as we get back, and then we'll talk a little more about these barracks. We'll be right back.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The UAW strike against Detroit's automakers set to expand today. We will learn more when union head Sean Fain speaks at 10 a.m. Eastern. House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer subpoenas the personal and business bank records for Hunter Biden and James Biden, the president's brother, as part of the impeachment inquiry. Comer on Fox's Hannity.
There's overwhelming evidence that Joe Biden was involved in all of these shady business schemes. That's a problem.
The White House denies any of the allegations. A deluge in parts of the Northeast.
You have travel plans across the I-95 corridor. Today is not the best day for traveling. Rain still to come, 3 to 5 inches in some of these areas from New York up towards Yonkers and south of Hartford, Connecticut.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, well, we got Nancy in Roundup. Let's just not keep her waiting anymore. We'll get to her, see what she's got on her mind today. Good morning, Nancy. How are you?
I'm very good. How about you, George? I decided to call in today. I haven't talked to you in quite a while, so it's good to hear you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in. It's always great to hear from you. So how about those gas prices?
Well, it's not looking good. The Saudis are really hitting us below the belt. They're taking advantage of a weak administration and the stupidity of Biden. Oil prices are almost $100 a barrel now. The cost of a gallon of gas is going to go up to $5, and it could reach as high as $6 in certain places. I heard California, they have gas prices $6.49 a gallon there already. So I'm not looking forward to that. And I'm telling you, people in small towns like Roundup, you know, jobs are at a premium in any small town. So a lot of people here have to drive into Billings. And that's pretty much like a 110-mile round trip. And it's breaking them. I don't know how they're going to do it when the gas prices continue to rise. And it's just going to be a tough winter. And I think 2024 is going to be extremely hard. It's a hardship for all of us. And I want to get into this shutdown. Last night, they met, our leaders met in Washington, D.C. Absolutely nothing got done, as usual. I mean, I'm not surprised about that. And we do have this knucklehead caucus that are constantly fighting with House Speaker McCarthy. Nothing is moving ahead. And, you know, it's bad enough that House Speaker McCarthy has an all-Democrat Senate to deal with. And now he's got 5 or 6 of his own, I call them false, fake conservatives, constantly fighting with him over this and over that. If it's not one thing, it's something else. And so nothing's getting done. So I'm going to lay odds that 100% by when we get up Sunday morning, we're going to be in a shutdown. I'm not scared of a shutdown, but what I'm worried about are all these bills sitting on McCarthy's desk that have to be passed. You know, this H.R. 2 immigration bill, which is so extremely important. I mean, George, you see it every day, 10,000 to 11,000 illegals crossing into our country. And we just can't keep this up. And he wants to get this passed so that we can start border construction law again and stop the transportation of illegals across our country and hire more border agents for both the north and southern borders. And every time these people, these knucklehead caucus, fight him on anything, all these important things to us as a country, to our national security, get stopped. So I don't like this at all, what's going on here. And I'm going to name Matt Rosendale with Ken Buck, Andy Biggs, Ralph Norman, Dan Bishop, and Matt Gaetz. They're always battling McCarthy, and I wish they would learn to just get along with this guy I mean, he has had...
Hey, Nancy, thanks for that. Hold on, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The cost of regulation. Most people grasp this idea immediately. The time and money spent to comply with rules on everything adds up. And it's easy to understand how even well-intentioned regulations can reduce investment and growth. But there's a more insidious side to regulation you may not know about that's even more costly. That's something that Nobel Prize-winning economist George Stigler called regulatory capture. It describes the tendency of large companies to bring about the kind of regulations that favor them at the expense of potential competitors. It happens in the hallways of Congress or wherever power brokers collect. Rules and laws are subtly designed to give what economists call incumbent firms an advantage. You see it in healthcare, telecommunications, banking, pharmaceuticals. We saw it in action in the development of at-home COVID tests during the pandemic. Germany had tests available faster, with more than 30 different companies supplying tests for a few euros each. Our tests cost six times as much and took much longer to develop. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Hey, we got a great speaker in town in Billings, Montana this weekend headlining the Big Sky Worldview Forum. Matt Sharp is the senior counsel for the Alliance Defending Freedom when it comes to parents' rights, protecting kids from this radical transgender agenda, especially in light of that liberal judge's ruling in Missoula. This is an event you're going to want to attend. Got a chance to catch up with Matt Sharp from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Check out the full audio and much more. Go to the Montana Talks website. Check it out right now. Like I say, full audio and more.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, welcome back, everyone. George in studio with Nancy and Roundup on the phone. Nancy, so you said something that I disagree with, actually. And I think that's what's great about this. We can talk about things. So one thing is these people that are holding out for one reason or another, they have something that they believe in firmly and they want to bring it up. And a lot of times, if we didn't have people that stood up and said, hey, this isn't right, I don't agree with this, and this is why, then it wouldn't shine a light on everyone else, and we wouldn't know everything that's going on there. And it's kind of just going along with the flow. And I think that's wrong. I think it takes people standing up there saying, hey, this isn't right, I don't like this, and informing us, the public, about what's going on.
Well, that's true. But in the meantime, these men are contradicting themselves. Matt Rosendale is talking about the economy, and then but yet at the same time he voted against single budget bill plans. And then we have Matt Gaetz, who has a personal vendetta against McCarthy. And you know, Andy Biggs, he's of Arizona. He wants to shut the government down, but at the same time, we're still going to have illegal immigration. His state is just busting out at the seams with illegals right now. So they're contradicting themselves, which I don't really understand. And I don't understand why they don't try to get along with McCarthy, because McCarthy has been in politics since the 1990s. His ambition was to someday be Speaker of the House for the GOP. I mean, his record, I think he's a good man. I wish that they would just kind of lean on him for some support and some of his experience, especially this Matt Rosendale. I call him Maryland Matt Rosendale because he's from Maryland. And he's only been in a politician since 2020 here in Montana.
Yeah.
And so I just... You know, what worries me mostly is that we're going to lose the House, George, in 2024. And if we lose the House to the Democrats, that means this Hakeem Jeffries will be our speaker. Hakeem Jeffries will continue and finish what Nancy Pelosi started. She started the destruction and all these terrible spending programs. And Hakeem will continue them and add more nails to our coffin. And you were talking about freedom. He wants a totalitarian government, just like Nancy Pelosi, a one-party system. That'll pretty much end us if he gets in the House. And then people are going to wish that McCarthy was still in as Speaker. But I just wish that we had some more people getting along and working together in the GOP. And because when you look at this list of names, Matt and this Ken and Andy and Ralph and Dan and this Matt Gaetz, they all want to leave their positions. They want to move on in their careers.
Right.
So,
well,
I know where you're coming from, but in this, I think that we're in such a position now in our country that we're spiraling down so fast. I think maybe they ought to put aside their own personal wishes and goals and work along with McCarthy and see, and if we can get these bills passed, including the one to impeach Joe Biden. I mean, if we impeach Joe Biden, that could stop his spending to Ukraine. If we can get HR2 program, we could save billions on illegals every year. They're costing us about $160 billion right now in this inflation, George.
Right, right. Well, Nancy, so here's the thing. You're covering a lot of stuff there, and I appreciate that. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff too, but I appreciate your call. I'm gonna let you go. I hope you have a great weekend. So I think it's important that we don't have a go along to get along Congress, and that's what a lot of people are looking for. Here's a message on our Montana Talks app from Randy in Fishtail. Says, sorry, Nancy, what you just said was go along to get along. This is what put us in this debt mess. Matt is a hero standing up to all the pressure, doing what has to be done. Appreciate that message, Randy. It's always great to hear from you. So I believe that we have to have people that stand up against the status quo. And I'm telling you, there is so much going on in Washington that if you really look at it and you dig down in it, it's just the Democrats and Republicans saying, it's us or them. It's us or them, our way or the highway. They're none of them are really trying to get along. They tell you they are, but look at it. When somebody says they're getting along or they're being nonpartisan, and John Tester's the king of this, he'll vote yes for something he knows isn't going to pass and then say, yep, see, I voted with Republicans. Or he'll vote no on something that he knows is going to pass just because it doesn't matter what his vote is, right? Except John Tester, many times, could have been the one vote that swung something one way or the other. And if it went against his party, even if it was right, he would vote against it. So, or for it, or whatever the case may be. So don't let these politicians fool you with their I'm partisan or bipartisan because I vote with the other side. Yeah, we can see through that. But this thing about this appropriations bill, you know, what one of the things Matt Rosendale is against is all of this funding going to the Ukraine. I mean, good Lord, how much money are we going to send over there? This is another $300 million. Another $300 million. And here's something else. One time John Tester told me, I talked to him about spending on something, and I said, you know, why are we spending all this money on this? And he goes, that's just a drop in the bucket. Well, that's right, Senator, but it takes drops to fill the bucket, and many drops do fill it. So every little bit counts. But when you have people in Congress saying, well, $300 million doesn't count, it's not enough to matter to mean anything, that's part of the problem right there. Are you kidding me? I just don't get that. A couple of the other things about this, Nancy, Steve Daines and Ryan Zinke agree with you. They are cautioning against this government shutdown, saying it's pointless to deny pay to people serving in the armed forces, patrolling the U.S. border with Mexico, as well as other federal employees. So what they're really saying is, hey, there's a whole lot of crap in this bill to go to a whole bunch of different things that have nothing to do with anything, but don't pay attention to that because you should feel bad. We cannot forget to pay our armed forces and the U.S. Border Patrol and these federal employees and. So it's a misdirection type of play, right? They don't want you to look at all the bad stuff they put in these bills. They just want to tell you, oh, you're going to be on my side because everybody wants to pay the military, right? Well, hell, if they cared about our military, why would they have them living in squalid type conditions like we were talking about a while ago and we're going to get back to? And besides that, you know, Steve Daines, there's been times when he was against funding the government. So when it suits him, I guess it's okay. So, I mean, you just got to look at all sides of it in the big picture. But, hey, we got Elena in Phillipsburg. She wants to talk about the shutdown. Elena, great to hear from you. Thanks for your call today. What's on your mind?
Good morning. A whole bunch of stuff, but shutdown, that's a – I promised Travis I was going to say it right, so I got to say it, get it out of the way. Shutdown, okay? So much to say, but good to hear from you again. But you mentioned Steve Daines and thinking bells should go off. First of all, the essential people, our military, who are definitely essential, they're going to continue to work. They're just not going to get their pay, just like everybody else who works, but they will get it back. So let's clear that up. As far as the shutdown, I hope it does shut down. And compromise, forget it. We don't need compromise. The Democrats never do. The liberals, the whatever you want to call it, the far left, they don't. They make sure they at least get what they want. The Republicans, they always compromise. As far as more bills sitting on the table, they can take those bills and shove it somewhere where the sun don't shine. We don't need another bill. George, it's like you take a fantastic recipe that you have. It's a great, simple meal. You've got it cooking. It's ready, almost. Somebody comes along, wait a minute, let me add this, I'll make it better. Somebody else, let me add this. Before you know it, you don't have that great, fantastic, delicious meal you had prepared. That meal is the Constitution.
Amen. That's a good way to say it. Hey, Elena, we're going to be taking a break here in just a second. I want to come back to you after this break, though, because I like the point you're making, and I like the way you're making it. You're listening to Montana Talks. We'll be right back.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Joe Biden lied. That Joe Biden lied repeatedly as a candidate, as a president. We know that Joe Biden's story has evolved repeatedly from I never talked to my brother, my son, or anybody for that matter, into, well, he's, Joe, the president's never been in business. As we've been saying all along, you weren't saying that all along, but he's never been in business. So now, no, he's never benefited financially. Sorry, but the criminal statute regarding bribery does not demand or indicate in any way that you have to be a financial beneficiary, although there's plenty of evidence that shows that Joe did benefit from these business deals.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
When it comes to getting new window treatments, it seems like there's nothing in between a high-end designer and some unqualified guy that has a power drill. There is a better way, and that's where Blinds.com comes in. And with Blinds.com, you get the savings of a local handyman with the expertise of a professional interior designer without the risk or hassle or expense. You get unlimited window treatments installed for only one low cost. So shop at Blinds.com and get up to 45% off. That's right, up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at GrizzlyGoldandSilver.com.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a great show going this morning. We've heard from Nancy in Roundup. We've got Elena in Phillipsburg. And Elena was making a point, and I really like her analogy. So too many cooks, too many people adding things to the recipe screws up an otherwise great meal. Go ahead, Elena.
Thanks, George, for giving me extra time. But, you know, as a person who's the military, a veteran, all of you take the oath of office. And the military, who I think should be above Congress, should they also give one other thing, their life. And I don't think you have many people in Congress or government, for that matter, who are willing to give their life. So kudos to everybody who really protects this country. And that's important. And not sending that money to the Ukraine either. It should stay here for Americans. One other thing that I want to say, and I do believe in the Constitution, the organic Constitution. I put a question out to David Noble with a K a couple of weeks ago. I told him to do research about the Montana Constitution and congressional term limits, which is still in the Montana Constitution, even though the Supreme Court of the U.S. said it was unconstitutional for Arkansas when it was challenged. It was never challenged here because there's something different about what the people here in Montana included in that little statement about congressional term limits. One other thing I'll say, and then I'll let you all go, and thanks again. Have a great weekend. Have you ever heard The Government Can by Tim Hawkins?
I have not.
Please, next break, see if Travis can pull it up. You'll be singing that tune all day long. It's fantastic.
All right.
So on that, I'll let you know. And thank you so much, George. And you guys, thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the call. I hope you have a great weekend. You know, folks, Elena is one of the people that I talk about a lot because she takes a stand and she will fight City Hall. She's done it. She's gone down there. She's called him out on things that weren't right. And she's actually won. And Elena, she not only talks the talk, she walks the walk. And I salute you for that, Elena. And I'm proud of you and thankful for you for paying attention and doing the tough things that need to be done. It's not easy, folks. It's not. But I think everybody should be willing to do that. And if more people were willing to stand up to government, whether it's local or state or federal, if more people stood up to government, they wouldn't be running rampant doing all the stupid stuff that they do, giving our money away and stealing from you to give it to other countries. And I mean, they just wouldn't be doing all that stuff. So pay attention. And I want to kind of get back to this thing a little bit. So you got Zinke and Danes talking about, you know, we have to pass this because we have to fund our military. We have to fund our Border Patrol. Well, the Border Patrol, our president, he's not even letting them do their job. But Nancy brings up, or Elena brings up a good point. They're going to get paid. They may have a delayed paycheck, but they're going to get paid and they'll get the money back. It's not like they're going to work for free and not be compensated for that. They'll get their money. But here you have these people, Danes and Zinke and everyone else. I'm not just picking on them. And I do agree with them on different things, but not everything. You know, they're talking about funding our military. Well, they're making our enlisted soldiers live in squalid conditions, conditions that they certainly wouldn't live in. But yet, hey, oh, we got to pay them. Well, how about giving them part of their pay? And that's housing. That's part of the obligation the government has is to house them and feed them. What are they going to do? Stop feeding them next? Is that going to be okay? I don't know. I have no idea. You're listening to Montana Talks. We'll be right back.